Yeah, so we're going to receive from God because, man, I'm excited. I'm excited to do this. So be the change. This is also my my last opportunity to contribute to this this series, which is Executive Order Series. And so I'm really excited. I have a lot, but I need to get through it. It's 11:08, and I will get through it. Amen?
Amen.
So if you have not been here, I do realize some of you have not been here. We've been in this Executive Order Series, Be the Change. And this series is not responsible for all the bees that you're seeing around. It's just, this is the season. Everybody say, this is the season.
This is
the season for bees. Be the Change. Executive Orders. Spring edition, sow seeds. Everybody say, sow seeds.
Spread the gospel.
Win souls. Fill the pews. And so today I'm going to talk about strategies for gapping. I know that sounds like slang, it sounds like clothing line, but gapping basically stands for go and pollinate. Strategies for gapping, all right? You have your worksheets. They will be full today. Strategies for gapping. Of course, 2 weeks ago we talked about gapping, go and pollinate, go and make, go and pollinate, basically spreading the gospel. And then week number two, go and pollinate, don't go and persecute. Everybody say, go pollinate, don't go and persecute. All right, and so that was week number two. And today we're going to talk about, again, strategies for gapping. Amen? And so in Matthew, the first week, Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20, but I want to read that for 2 seconds, but I don't want to read everything, so I left some of it out this week. Matthew 28, verse 16, read with me, ready to say, go. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. What if the city sees the house of Judah as a place where they can get instructions? Similar to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. Jesus told them to go to the place, and when you go to this place, everybody say this place. Everybody say this place. You're going to receive instructions. Matthew 9 was the second week, and Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. It's a miracle that I can read 20 miles per hour. Ain't that awesome? When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Everybody say compassion. Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without shepherd. Then he said to the house of Judah, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Are we ready? Remember, the Bible just said, this passage just said, that he was surrounded by every what? Disease and every affliction. Imagine being surrounded by every disease and every affliction. Are we ready to be surrounded by what? Every disease and every affliction. I mean, all types of something, all types of mental, mental illnesses, if you will. Amen? All type of characters. Amen? So this gathering series is going to eventually have us surrounded by this church full, the pews full of all type of characters. I'm not saying that in a condescending or shady way, but I do mean it in the most humble way, all type of characters.
Amen.
And so this is our message for the fruit. Our message for the fruit, let's read it. The message for the fruit is, and just look around as you say this message, with the spirit of joy, and with the spirit of gladness, and with the spirit of Chick-fil-A, and with the spirit of Ruth Chris. In other words, they have good service. The message to the future fruit is, let's say it loud and proud, we look forward to worshiping with you, serving you, and serving with you. It's not that they're going to come in to be served, but they're also going to serve with us. When you join this aggregation, we got some stuff for you to do. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to serve you, but we're going to serve the community together. Alpheus, why 2025? Why now? Why not now?
Amen.
Why now? This is our time, as it was on the screen a few minutes ago, our time, our season. Why 2025 urgency? Because this building is on fire. One thing that's probably going to happen, you cannot salvage this house. It is coming down. It is What you don't realize, somebody, there's quite a few people still in this house. Amen. They are still in this house. This house is on fire. It's burning up, and it's trending to doing what? Burning to the ground. But if you see this hand on the right here, this is God's hand, but inside of that hand is the house of Judah. And why 2025 urgency? Because we got to get as many people out of this burning building before it comes down. It's coming down. Oh, yeah. It's coming down. Amen? The earth is on fire. I was about to say America, but it's bigger than America. Amen? The earth is on fire. It's coming down. It's going down. Amen? But we got to get as many people out of the burning building. It's a big ocean to heat up. This is a big city, even Seneca, the lovely big sound of Seneca that has the famous Odets. It's a big city it's a big ocean to heat up. But I want to encourage this on your worksheet, number one, to be patient. I'm going to talk quick. I got a 25 miles per hour talking anointing on me this morning. Number two, be persistent. Number one, be patient. Number two, be persistent. Number three, priorities. Patient, persistent, priorities. Let's keep our priorities straight. Gapping, go and pollinate. Last thing, gapping, go and pollinate. Go and pollinate. Go and make disciples. Go and make. Gapping. Let's plan to gap like baseball. How many watch baseball? I don't watch baseball, but did you know that baseball have the highest salaries?
Yep.
So I actually have the physique of a baseball player, but I wanted to play football, didn't quite work out. I like basketball, now I'm a professional pickleballer. But I have the physique of I should have stuck with baseball. But baseball, let's gap like a baseball game, which can be boring, but remember I said they have the highest salaries. And baseball is a matter of getting from first base to what? Second base to what? To third base. And then home. So let's focus on, write this down, block by block, pew by pew, block by block, pew by pew. Gapping can be an incremental effort, but what's our ladder up strategy? In our household, we've always laddered up. We start off in an apartment, then we move to a bigger house, smaller than the house we have now, and then we ladder up in our finances. We save $2, then we save $4, then we save $10, then we save $50, amen? Then we save $100, we were rich! We started saving $100, amen? Won't take you far today, $100 can get gone in 2 seconds, right? Just go to Atlanta and eat one night. You eat tacos every Taco Tuesday, every single day. If you try to ladder up in your finances, amen? But gapping is an incremental effort, but what's our ladder up strategy? Remember, P number one is what? Patient. P number two is what? Persistent. P number three is keeping our priorities straight. And look around, what's our capacity? Not just for the house of Judah, but for you being an ambassador for the kingdom of God. What's your capacity? Yes, for the church, but for you as an ambassador for the kingdom of God, what's your capacity? In other words, how can you gap on a day-to-day? Amen? What's your routine? And so this scripture in 1 Corinthians is actually a model for gapping as it relates to a group effort. Everybody say group effort. Gapping, just to be clear, is go and pollinate. Go and make disciples. Gapping, pollinate, a bee pollinates. A bee spreads pollen. A bee spreads seeds. A bee spreads reproductive cells. All right, so that was a week ago. So 1 Corinthians is basically a gapping model. It's a group effort. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, read with me, I planted the seeds, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God gets the credit who makes things grow. Yeah. Verse 8, the one who plants, the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. If you bring two people to the house of Judah, you bring eight, I bring two, we will all be awarded to what? According to their own capacity, to their own labor. Amen? I may have the ability to save five people to the house of Judah. You may be able to smile and pray 10 people to the house of Judah, but we all will be awarded to our own labor. Amen? Verse number 9, for we are what?
Co-workers.
In God's service, you are God's field and God's building. Look around, look at your co-workers. Look at us. Look at our co-workers. You know, in the corporate world, co-workers, they go out to eat sometime. They go get some drinks, virgin. Amen. They watch the game, co-workers say, you want to go? So it's about the work, but man, it's about after work, after hours. Amen. And so, again, one plant, one waters, but it's God. God is doing the growing. So ask yourself a question on your worksheet. Excuse me. Are you better at gardening or harvesting? I won't lift all these for the sake of time. I'm just going to lift a couple of these. Are you better at gardening or harvesting? Gardening versus harvesting. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Okay? Number one, a gardener plants seeds. Number six, a gardener aims to cultivate. Everybody say cultivate. Strong, healthy plants for future growth and harvest. Number seven, a harvester, though, gathers as much as possible. A harvester is like just, man, just obsessed with it. Let's get it off the tree. Let's get it here at the house of Judah. Let's get it. And I said, let's get it. So I don't know who the next get it folks in the room, but you perhaps are a harvester. Number eight, a harvester gathers ripe fruits. You can detect when the fruit needs to be harvested. And vegetables when they are what? When they are ready. The Let's Get It crew can detect, oh, this is the right time to get the right person in this church. Amen? In this fellowship. Number nine, a harvester collects during what?
Harvest season.
The harvest season. Rate yourself. Are you better at gardening or harvesting? This next, these notes here on the screen. Number three, I won't lift everything. Y'all know I'm disciplined if I'm not going through all of these. Praise the Lord. Number three, a gardener in the kingdom shares the faith consistently, no matter the season. In the kingdom or evangelism, a gardener encourages others with prayer and scripture. That's your niche. That's your grace. Amen. Number eight, a harvester in the kingdom brings as many people as possible to Christ. You just want to go, you see the fruit. Hey, are you saved?
No, sir.
Come in. You're going to get saved right now. So you're likely a harvester. You just want to get people saved. Amen? And we need that here in this fellowship. Amen? Yeah. I think we can grasp the strategies from this parable that I'm about to lift. And I like parables. And if you can turn to Luke 14, I do have it on the screen. But these, I'm about to transition to strategies to sow seeds, spread the gospel, win souls, fill the pews. Strategies to sow seeds, spread the gospel, win souls, fill the pews. Amen? Yeah. Also, just as a side note, right now, Matthew 22, this is a synoptic account. It's another account of the same event, but it has a little bit more. Make sense? Luke 14 reads. This is juicy. This is about to get juicy. It feels like I need music while I'm reading this. But it feels juicy to me while I'm reading this because Jesus can get you together like nobody else can. All right, Luke 14. Read with me. One Sabbath when Jesus went to eat. See, the scripture says eat. I know you say I always talk about food when I'm up here, but this is not me. This is the word. Amen. All right, let's stop. All right, ready, set, go. One Sabbath when Jesus went to eat. In the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. They're going to be watching us, guys. They are going to be watching us. They're watching you. You a Christian? Okay. You a Christian? They have a TSR. TSR says for what? That seems what? Right. They have a TSR for how Christians should be living, and they are not a Christian. All right. That's not in my notes. Let's skip into verse number 13, Luke 14. Verse number 13, when it says go, but when you get, Jesus felt with them to say this, but when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Y'all should read with me. And you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Yes, there are some fruit that maybe come to the house of Judah and they cannot give a dime. They're going to feel embarrassed doing offering because we're going to extend an offering. And they say, I can't come up here. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? They can't repay you, but you will be repaid for harvesting. Amen? Amen. At the resurrection of the righteous, a man commits that those who, now check this out, please don't miss this. A man commits that those who would eat the kingdom of God are what?
Blessed.
We're going to come back to that here in about 2 seconds. Luke 14, verse 16 says, ready, say, go. Jesus replies after this man says this. What triggered Jesus to say this? Sorry, so let's go back. What triggered Jesus to say this? A man comments, those who will eat the kingdom of God are blessed. Those who eat the kingdom of God are blessed. We have a Pharisee with a prominent Pharisee's house, and Jesus tells not one parable but 2 stories. But then a man says, those who eat the kingdom of God are blessed. And now Jesus is triggered to say this parable. Everybody say, don't trigger Jesus this way. Say that. Say, don't trigger Jesus this way. You don't want Jesus to be triggered this way. I'm going to tell you why in a second. Jesus is triggered to tell this parable. Luke 14, verse 16. Jesus replies with a parable. A man prepared a great banquet and invited many guests. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited that everything was now what? Prepared. Not in my notes, but we're going to fill the pews here at the house of Judah. It's not in my notes, but write this word down. Prepare. French culinary word, mise en place. Mise en place is basically prepare ahead of time. Mise en place is you prepare before the ship. You prepare before Thanksgiving. You prepare before, you don't just cook this grandiose meal ahead of, like 2 minutes before the meal is served. Mise en place, prepare. A man prepare a great banquet. Everybody say prepare. But let's not miss this. Sweets, go back to what the man said. Let's not miss this. Because he is not saying this from the right spirit. So this man says, read with me, those who will eat the kingdom of God are blessed. What's wrong with what he said? What's wrong with what he said? So after he said this, Jesus presented this parable. Why? I am here to tell you, if Jesus feels the need to say a parable after you said something, you spoke foolishly and fleshly. To respond to your antics or your verbiage with a parable is not a compliment. It's a teachable moment. So after this guy said this, those who eat the kingdom of God are blessed. But if you rewind, everybody say rewind. But you give a banquet, invite the poor. You have to understand who's saying this statement. Because the person that's saying this statement is not equating himself with poor, with the less than. Make sense? If Jesus feels the need to tell a parable after you finish talking, he's basically saying, you fool. Jesus is creatively taking a long way to say, bro, you off. He's taking a parable that can get kind of lengthy and kind of complex to me. So this guy is trying to put classism on kingdom business. Verse 13 says, invite the poor. So you can tell by this statement, he doesn't like this kingdom approach. And so it's almost like this guy is saying it like this. Brother Lawrence, if you can come up here. We just chilling. It's like this is the spirit that this guy is talking, okay, at this crib, at this famous prominent Pharisee house. Man, it's a blessing to be one of God's chosen people, right? It's a blessing. Man, won't it be amazing when we all get to heaven together? When me and you get to heaven, I know God got me covered. I'm up in here every week. I'm at the church. You on the keyboard every week. I know God got you covered. Boy, he has your energy. Imagine energy. That's the spirit he is saying us. Those who eat, like Jesus, those who eat in the kingdom are blessed, right? Like we here with you. Jesus, this parable is not random. There's nothing random about Jesus. There's nothing random about God. Nothing random. Why did Jesus jump straight to a wedding feast, a banquet, to clap back? It's very intentional. The word banquet is a buzzword. These guys would hear the word banquet and it looked like, oh, okay, so you're going to go that route. So what are you trying to say? Did anybody ever talk around something and you knew what they were talking about, but they just say it? And so Jesus basically took this environment. Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee. He turned this environment to a classroom. He knows the Jewish tradition is heavy on something called, write this down, Messianic Feast. Messianic, Messiah, or the Feast of the Messiah. Messianic Feast, Feast of the Messiah, the Feast of Jesus. So he knew when he said the word banquet, they'd be like, oh, okay, what is this about? Banquet, a feast, a wedding gathering. In other words, be honest, when you didn't get the invitation to that wedding, how did you feel? When you didn't get invited to that party, how did you feel? How would you feel if you didn't get the invitation to the wedding that you're going to in North Carolina? Why didn't they invite me?
I mean, I got some good clothes. I wear one of these jeans.
Amen. I got a suit. Amen. Oh, they're just inviting the that side of the family. They're just inviting that side of the family. Read this with me. So I rarely write something down and read it verbatim. Not my style, but I want us to read this together because I didn't want to miss it. And can y'all read with me? The Pharisee and experts in the law had strong belief about something called the Messianic Feast, a great banquet that would happen at the arrival of God's kingdom. Y'all would like to read it with me. They often debated who should be invited and who was worthy to attend. Their ideas came from the Old Testament scriptures, which describe a future celebration where God will bless his people. His people. TSR, that seems right. His people. God's way. And I say his people. Not your people. Amen? Let's keep reading. And Jesus told his parable about a banquet here in Luke 14. So when hearing this parable, the Pharisees likely had these scriptures in mind. What scriptures? The scriptures that I'm about to lift in 2 seconds. They believe that only the righteous, especially those who follow the law carefully, so legalistic, these Pharisees, about the law of Moses, there was just wrong spirit. Right motive-ish, wrong spirit. Make sense? They were right and wrong. Make sense? Would be a part of a great feast, but Jesus challenged their ideas, suggesting that God's invitation, I say God's invitation, we're about to gather like never before at the house of Judah. God's invitation was open to unexpected people, even those the Pharisees might exclude. So when Jesus told this parable of the banquet, they would rewind or go back to Isaiah 25. On this mount, the Lord Almighty would prepare a feast of rich food for all people. I'm glad the Bible says all people because it has to clear that up for people like me that may not sit over there with you because you look, smell a certain way. Can I be honest? I think I'm going to go over here. I'm not going to sit over there. Y'all know we do this, right? Thank God for laughing. That means yes, I'm guilty. That's what that laughing means. Don't leave me up here by myself. Amen. We don't fool with people because of X, Y, Z. Man, that's not Christ-like. Oh, I want to go to this altar right now. No, I'm not. You just go the other way. Amen. Yeah. You try to make it on your terms. Amen. Well, perhaps God is speaking to some of us in this room to gap, to go and do X, Y, Z. Amen. Even if it's with somebody that don't believe the same thing you believe, don't have the same lifestyle as you have. Amen. I'm annoyed by certain things, and when I'm annoyed, I stay away. I'm being pretty transparent, amen? I mean, when you are annoyed, I know y'all are annoyed at the news. That's why the worship leader said this morning, I just don't like seeing the news these days. Because you're annoyed, so you turn it off. But we can't turn off people.
Right.
Can't turn off people. We're going to be surrounded by those that are afflicted, like the Bible says, what I read a few minutes ago, and disease. Afflicted and disease. Let me skip to Isaiah. So y'all have this, y'all can take it with you, of course, on the website. Isaiah 55. Come, all you, and I say all you are thirsty. They're thirsty. Outside of these walls, they're thirsty. Come to the house of Judah. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come and eat. Amen. So when Jesus told this parable about this banquet, if they were referencing Old Testament scriptures, it was surface and superficial, and they didn't need it because these scriptures has the word what? All. It clearly says the poor. But you skip that part. And I said, don't skip that part. Psalm 23:5 says, a table in the presence of enemies. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Let's keep reading. I'm almost finished. Luke 14, the second part of this parable, or another part of this parable. So Jesus tells this parable, the story about a banquet, in verse 18. However, those invited to this banquet began to make what? Excuses. One had bought a field and he could go see it. Another had bought an oxen and he could try them out. And another had just got married, newlywed, and could not attend this banquet. And I say excuses. I haven't been able to teach on excuses, but I wanted to just at least get this in here. But this is not the subject matter today, but excuses. Number one, don't let the field make a fool out of you. Number two, your oxen can wait. Don't miss God. From the text, I got this application. Don't let your spouse make you miss God's house. Amen. Number two is really important because, guys, we perhaps need to fast people in here. However, those invited began to make excuses. One had bought a field and needed to go see it. Another bought what? An oxen and needed to try them out. I'm not trying to make you say what it's not saying, but in my creative mind, bought an oxen and needed to try them out. In other words, I need to try this new meal. I need to see how this tastes. Everybody say, we got to fast. For the church. For our families. We got to stop eating and watch God move. Stop eating and watch God move. If it's not moving in your life, stop eating. It seems to work every single time. Mental health, I'm not coming against professionals. I'm not coming against that profession. What I am saying, you can fast your way out of depression. You say, well, I'm depressed. I don't even know the fast. Well, if you're listening to me and you're depressed, God is speaking to you. You can fast out of depression into a better mental state. Amen? This is not what I'm supposed to be talking about. Luke 14, verse 21. The servant returned and reported these excuses. Y'all okay? Mm-hmm. I am almost finished. The master of the house became angry and told the servant, and this is what I'm going to end with today, go into the streets and alleys of Seneca and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. When there was still room, the servant was told to go out into the roads and country lanes to compel more people to come. So what? That my house will be what? Why is Jesus telling this parable? It's just not accidental. It's very intentional. He wants the kingdom of God to be full. Amen? And it seems like he needs us to do our job so he can do his job. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Look at somebody and say, go to work. Look at somebody and say, clock in. Let's clock in. Verse 24, Jesus concludes, I tell you, not one of these who were invited, of course, originally, get a taste of my banquet. And this is what I want to end with. Step one. Invite many guests. Luke 14, verse 16. Everybody say, invite many guests. Of course, all may not come. All are not coming. All of them, some will be offended that you invited them. You know I'm an atheist. You know I'm agnostic. You know I'm church hurt. You know I'm gay. I don't do church. I just don't. So everybody's not coming. Step two, prepare for the invited guests. Everybody say, prepare. So we gotta have a plan for them when they come, because some and many will come. Prepare for the invited guest. Step three, choose what posture, what lane are you going to basically pound the pavement? What's your lane? Choose gardening or harvesting. Remember that? Step four, manage, serve, rinse, or step and repeat. Step one, step two, step three. Remember the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame.
Switch up to the next slide. Remember where the scripture I read where we are encouraged to go in the alleys and the streets in this parable.
This is a Google Earth. This is where we are right now. We're in this. Like, we're in this. We're in this, quote unquote, this show, this movie, this event, this real life event. We're living this out. This is a bird's eye view. But look what's around us. Streets and what? And alleys. Take a screenshot. It will be on the website. But last week I alluded to this. We have assets here. We have a field. We have a basketball goal. We have a parking lot. A nice parking lot. Classrooms. Beautiful sanctuary. If I say beautiful sanctuary, we have air. I can't feel it right now, but we got air. I'm just 200 pounds. We got air. And we have an inviting traditional porch. Stairs on the front porch. It's inviting to me. That's what I see. And we have gifted people
right there at that church right there that Google Earth is looking at.
So with our assets, this is homework. What, guys, this is free. This is for free. Amen. I didn't sleep at all last night. Not because of this, because of I thought a tornado was coming. I'm trying to sound mean. God gave me this week for us, but homework. Let's choose with our assets. What's our ladder up strategy? Amen. Just scream out one of your favorite ones you see on the screen. Just scream it out. If something you like, just scream it out. Fill the room with that. Scream it out. Ready, set, go. Porch talks. That sounds good.
Yeah.
We can do that. Because that's a part of our assets list. All right, I'm finished. So, did you guys enjoy this teaching?
Yeah.
An interesting way to end on homework, but in this room we know Gabby stands for go and pollinate. Go and pollinate. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Alphys, I'm retired.
What can I do? This is obviously what you can do.
You can mentor at schools. When you retire. The bus and transportation ministry is going to have us putting out chairs every single week. I'm retired. Perhaps you can oversee a non-emergency transport ministry on behalf of the House of Judah. I like to go fishing. I can't go through all of these. That's why this is homework and it's 11:45. I like to fish. So you obviously can see what we can do here if you like to fish. Amen? Just invite me after you catch the fish. Amen? And after you clean them. I don't have kids. How about a playground pop-up with snacks? I already have a career. I'm a businessman. I'm an entrepreneur. But find the college ministry, the college pantry. Amen? You got a career, but you like to go to the gym. Start a faith and fitness group when you go to the gym. House of Judah Faith and Fitness Group. I'm young. Cut grass. Free cuts on behalf of House of Judah. Amen. Free car washes. Help the elderly clean yards around this church. Amen. Manage social media. Contribute to a YouTube channel on faith and fear. I'm young. What am I going to do? How am I going to gap? You're going to gap on TikTok. Amen. Attracting and serving the crippled, lame, and the blind. Ooh, I like this laundry love. Ooh, that sounds like that's going to be the need. Amen? I don't have it on here, but how about we give out 50 eggs on this Saturday? Now, you know good well. You're going to run out in 20 minutes. Amen? Amen? And we know 2,000 people going to show up when we give away organic eggs. It is only an egg giveaway, baby. A community baby shower. They're going to be shocked that we give them a baby shower because they're having a baby out of the wedlock. Oh, but that fruit, remember, scripture we read a couple of weeks ago, that fruit is what? Being harassed and helpless. So how do we handle that fruit and keep it from rotting? The baby is coming. She knows she's wrong. When we do a community baby shower, oh, they're coming. They're coming. Everybody say they're coming. I just want to pray. I can't go into the streets and the alley. Well, ma'am or sir, You can oversee the House of Judah, AAA, we care a lot. I know this sounds very, very, conference workshop, but this is good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. 10 a.m. to 12, you can call into the Zoom, and I'm sitting there watching the stories. Listen, the stories still come on, and then when I hear bing, okay, do you need prayer? Yes. No, you got to turn off Jack. Pray in the park. I just want to pray. All right, so I'm really finished. And so for the next 6 to 9 months, let's consider here at the House of Judah event-based ministry. What does that mean? We're heavy on events with gathering in mind. Everybody say heavy.
Heavy.
Heavy on events.
Heavy on.
I mean heavy on events, because I just happen to know that events will draw folks that need Jesus. Amen. It sounds like a bait and switch, but it's not a bait and switch. You give them what they need, and you give them what they want. Amen. They want eggs. Amen. But they need Jesus. They actually need eggs, and they need Jesus. So after we do these events, what's the maintenance plan? How are we going to communicate? How are we going to build a team? How can we inspire college students, family and friends that are not members? Do you not know that there are some family and friends that are members of other churches that are not doing anything? In the moment that this church started to do something, they will still be a member of that church, but come and volunteer and serve this church. Because when you're inspirational, and it draws resources and people. I gotta quit. And Murphy's Law is a thing. So in other words, when this church tripled in size, that's a lot to manage. But we gotta have systems in place to manage the growth. Amen? Yeah. Because life is gonna happen. Death is gonna happen. You're gonna stump your toe. Don't hurt your knee playing pickleball. And I won't be able to be up here teaching. But who's gonna teach? Amen? And be consistent and automate when possible, but stay visible. I'm really finished because my laptop is closed. Clap your hands if you enjoyed this teaching.